This is a News Laundry podcast, and you're listening to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap.
Hello, hello, and you're listening to the Awful and Awesome Entertainment Wrap with me, Dipanjana Pal, and
Rajshri Sen.
This week, we have got for you truly racy, not safe for work material. Things that you should not watch with mummy and daddy around. That would be a very strange situation if this... Would you be comfortable watching what we are going to talk about with your parents?
No, because it's just so badly made. That's why I wouldn't. Otherwise, I wouldn't.
Find out what we are going to talk about in about 30 seconds. So before we get into the belly of the beast, as it were, let me tell you what we're going to be talking about. We've got a little ad, which is almost like a short film from America, which we love. The Pirelli calendar is out, and yet again, they've gone feminist, as the Eco Times put it. Why have they gone feminist? We will tell you. There's also Big Boss with Dibang. And
Dabang Dibang.
Dabang Dibang. God bless. And of course, our current favorite, Lay You Down by Nano. So let's say you're a producer and you want to make a socially relevant and provocative music video.
Yeah.
What is it that you do?
I create a really horrible sounding song. Then I just tell two women who are musicians and singers in their own right
to not sing
but to take off their clothes and make out with each other and do a sort of lesbian fantasy thing, which is pointless towards the end. Like, there's no story arc. So just so everyone knows what we are talking about, there's a gentleman called Nanok. This is actually his name. It's Nanok. He is a electronic music producer in Bombay.
Indeed. And his new track is called Lay You Down, and do listen to it. Lay You Down has been produced, as you said, by Nanok. Nanok was very clear that he wanted Anushka Manchanda and Monica Dogra in particular to be in this video, because I don't know why, frankly.
Because they aren't singing.
No, that's the weird thing. These are two singers who are not singing. He's picked them only to make out with one another, while somebody by the name of Rehan Dalal, or Ray D.
Yeah.
Sings what I could not entirely tell, but something that presumably sounds musical to both Nanok and Rehan Dalal. Now, here's my question with something like this. Why would you take singers and use them only for their bodies?
Well, it seems that the singers were fine with it because Manchanda has edited the video herself. So, which is fine. I'm saying everyone wants to collaborate. It's something different. It's something risky. So, but the video itself is very, if you call it tastefully shot, in the sense that it's all dark and light and shadow, and there's a hint of breast, and then there's a bare back and all sorts of stuff, and lots of kissing happening.
Also licking.
Licking, kissing, there's saliva exchange, which you see. But what is the point of this video other than... I don't know.
Shock value. And to be fair, I mean, from that point of view, rather, I don't think it's a bad thing. In that...
It's basically shock value, as we've... Because I don't see, it's not music appreciation that you're getting. So, but they've got around 435,000 views.
That's not bad.
It's not great either. Like, you've got two naked women making out with each other.
Two beautiful naked women making out.
I'd say beauty is in the eyes of the beholder, so I don't want to comment on who's beautiful or not. I just found this an entirely pointless video. And
I found it very juvenile, quite frankly.
That's what.
But the thing is that we're not comfortable seeing same-sex romance at all, right? In films that we've seen where, you know, one man has to kiss another man, such a big charade goes on, and, you know, It's just you're acting, yeah? You're just putting lip to lip. It shouldn't be such a big deal.
No, but see, the audience which is watching this is a upwardly mobile English-speaking audience who I don't think most people really care if it's a lesbian couple or a gay couple. So, which is why I found it even more pointless. Like, what are you trying to prove over here?
What I loved was that GQ India compared it to blue is the warmest color.
Yeah.
Which, for those who don't know, was a film that won Palme d'Or at Cannes the year that it was made, and is considered one of the sort of landmark kind of films because it had a 10-minute lesbian sex sequence. And was a lesbian love story. Mm-hmm. Whatever you feel about Blue is the Warmest Color, and it is a very controversial film because of a number of issues, not the least of which is that the director apparently pushed these actors very, very hard. And there are scenes in which you see them crying. They're actually crying because of what the director has pushed them to.
Over here also they cry at the end.
I don't think they've been pushed into anything.
Okay, but I want to quote a line from GQ's article on this. The line is, the sentence is, it's a dope track too. You'll realize once your eyeballs return to their sockets. So just keep your eyeballs in place while watching this because we put ourselves through this for the sake of...
I'm very mystified by two things about this video, and it does not... GQ did not answer these questions and my eyes stayed in their sockets, but you know, still. One is, why was Anushka Manchanda licking like that? There's like this pronounced licking of almost of a froggy variety.
This reminded me of in Dil Dharakne Do, they explain how that lovely, the dog which I really like, keeps licking Farhan's face and so on. They used to slather ice cream on one side of Farhan Akhtar's face. So he said while it was all looking very nice to the camera, his face was sticky as hell and the dog was like licking it vociferously.
So you were wondering if Monica Dhopra
had... Maybe she had chocolate or something because that licking was maybe they were starved and then there was some food.
I also
put on
got the feeling that this might be a self-defeating video because Nanook has said that he wanted to do this to raise awareness about LGBT
like
issues.
This is when you say with friends like these.
Indeed. But it's also by the end of the video, there's a single tear gracefully falling down Monica Dhokra's face. That means either the sex was very bad or this relationship is downhill. Either way, I don't see how
this realize that this video is ridiculous. So you don't watch Big Boss because you have finer tastes than me.
I'm a sophisticated person.
Yes. Now, I can't say the same for myself. So I watch Big Boss over the weekend like most common people. And there's one uncommon thing
Indeed.
Which is that Dibang, the journalist and sometime actor, because he has acted in Pink and he is also acted, our producer is going to give this input, he's also acted in Madras Cafe, which I did not watch. Dibang starts, each episode starts with him in the ABP newsroom giving breaking news on the house.
Because that is ABP News, apparently.
Yeah.
But I would like to say that I personally have a very soft spot for Dibang because... Don't snort like that.
Sorry.
How undignified of, common of you.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Anyway, because Dibang was among the people who got very upset when News Laundry's Manisha Pandey wrote about the sex scandal. Do you remember? And he and we did the unforgivable task of asking whether journalists don't have much of a sex life, considering how scandalized they were by
so
that
particular...
So what
was... He was upset at the question about his sex life?
Yeah,
or?
He was very upset with Manisha in particular.
Yeah, so see, now Dibang is showing us what embedded journalism is all about. Because he has these insights into the Big Boss house. He's standing in the newsroom. You have these poor journalists behind him pretending to work while he's talking to, doing his piece to camera. But this weekend was the clincher because Salman Khan introduced him as Hamare Dabang Dibang.
Oh,
too much. So Dibang.
Alliteration and pun together.
And Dibang grinned into the camera, and he was then called on to interrogate the Big Boss contestants.
Wait, is he a journalist or an interrogator?
He's both. Yeah, what you're saying.
So limited my worldview.
So watch Big Boss just to see how low journalism can fall.
No, no, that's how low interrogation has fallen. Yeah. Please don't associate
him with
No,
but he
us.
Does a this thing also, a rap. He does a summation
so
of
So what
things.
Were the kind of questions he was asking?
I zoned out. But he asked things like, why do you fight with the other? When you fought over the bread not being in the fridge, did you mean to actually just pick a hole in her argument? Like, it was deep stuff. But at the end of it, Salman Khan said, Dabang Dibang, thank you. And he smiled and vanished. But every night you can watch Dibang, if not on ABP News, he's at least on Big Boss.
Good to know.
Got some news today from the radio man. He spoke the words somber and as softly as he can. The world stood still and the sky opened up. I made my way to fill up my coffee cup. Then it occurred to me as the daylight sky shone blue, today's day that Johnny met June.
I just want everyone to know, our listeners, our dear listeners, that while this clip was being played, Miss Sen was saying how wonderful it would be if I, as in not her, but me, Dipanjana, if I died while recording.
Because it's the first time someone would have died while recording a podcast.
Just think.
For the sake of our art and our hits.
Notoriety has been missed by one bronchial cuff. The reason why I pick up the subject of death is because what you heard is from a short film titled Evan.
So this is a public awareness, part of a public awareness campaign. Watch it. It's been made by BBDO New York. Watch it. It's a very nicely made film. You will need to watch it twice. Once
and
you reach
helpfully,
the end.
They show it to you twice as well. But it's related to the school shootings that there have been a spate of them for years in America. But this one in particular,
Sandy Hook,
refers to Sandy Hook.
So the reason why it's been released now is because this is the anniversary, the fourth year anniversary of the shooting which had happened. And this is the Sandy Hook Promise Foundation, which is a non-profit which has been set up by family members of the people who were the students who were killed at Sandy Hook. So 20 students and 6 adults were killed. And by this chap he was a student also, called Adam Lanza, who had first killed his mother at home. Then he came in and he shot these students, and the adults were teachers who were protecting the students. So the parents have, they do a lot of work for awareness against gun culture, how to identify children who may have violent leanings and all. But what's nice about this film, if you can say nice for something like this, is it's not preachy. It actually hits home. And I don't want to give it away because the first time you see it, it is simply brilliant when you reach the end. But it's worth seeing and reminding yourself of why gun culture is...
And it's particularly clever as a film because it totally works on all the tropes of high school romances that we've seen in Hollywood pulpy films, right? So while you're watching it, you're like, oh, okay, I've seen this like a million times before. And they'll be like, we know exactly how this is going to
end.
And
the casting is so good.
It's
great.
They
really look like students. They're gawky and there's a cute student. It's just very nicely done.
It's very sweet until, of course, this one moment when it turns completely dark. Yeah. And did you notice any... So there are certain things that...
So I noticed only on the iPad when he is scrolling the pictures.
I noticed the video that he was watching in the computer room.
No, but watch this video. It's excellent. I think all ad agencies should also watch it to learn how to make a good video. And hats off to BBDO New York for doing
superbly
this.
Done.
Yeah.
It has been described by the Economic Times as the Pirelli calendar stays feminist another year. Why? Because this year, for 2017 rather, Pirelli has gone with older women who are being shot without makeup for their calendar. I'd just like to point out who are the women in the Pirelli calendar before we all jump up and down about them being without makeup. Penelope Cruz, Julianne Moore, Kate Winslet, Helen Mirren, Nicole Kidman, Lupita Nyong'o, Jessica Chastain, Charlotte Rampling, Rooney Mara, Uma Thurman.
There's one only who is not a celebrity, who's a school teacher or something.
Alicia Vikander, Robin Wright, and Zhang Ziyi. The teacher that you're talking about, Anastasia Ignatova, teaches political theory at Moscow State University. These are ridiculously beautiful women.
No, but even then, there are enough ridiculously beautiful women in Indian cinema who will not be allow themselves to be photographed, and it's for the full year and for life after that. It's recorded what your face looks like without makeup, that these women have bothered to, because Nicole Kidman is, you can see her wrinkles and her frown lines.
But that you can see even with makeup, to be fair.
Yeah, but I still think it's at least a step away from the absolutely, because it used to be very glamorous. So Pirelli is what inspired
Kingfisher
and the Dabur Ratnani calendar. So they've been, Pirelli is a tire company, and they've been making
Just pause for a second for everyone to soak in the fact that Pirelli and Dabur Ratnani have a connection.
Yeah.
Please,
even they are dying in Italy when they are hearing this, if they were. In 1962, they started their calendar, and it always used to be very photoshopped, very glamorous, and it's always had celebrities. There's a reason why people will want to buy the calendar after all, right? But they have done things like they had Naomi Campbell pose topless for Pirelli when she was in her teens. So they've done all these absurd things. So it's last year was the first time they did this non or less makeup shoot.
Now here's the reason why last year's calendar, which was shot by Annie Leibovitz, was a little more interesting to me than this one. Because it actually did play around with conventions of beauty. So the one that I remember most clearly is Amy Schumer sitting on that stool, and she's topless, I think, and she's just wearing a G-string. And this is not a perfect body, not trying to hide those imperfections at all, but just comfortable in oneself. This year's calendar, judging from the few photographs that I have seen, Curtsy Pirelli, and this one's been shot by Peter Lindbergh. While I appreciate the point that you're making about having gone without makeup, these are incredibly stylized photos. They have been photoshopped within an edge of their lives, quite evidently, or at least they've been shot to create a certain degree of illusion, heightened contrasts, denser shadows. And these women are beautiful. This is not to take away from any of that. But it's quite glamorous still. This is not a de-glamorized look
at
all.
But why would anyone buy the Pirelli calendar if it wasn't glamorous? That's also expecting too much. No? That it is the Pirelli calendar at the end of the day. It's like, why will they become National Geographic? It's as simple as that.
No, the question is that if you're making a statement, or if you're trying to make a statement, then actually make it.
I don't. So according to me, it's a great step.
No, I don't think that there's anything wrong with it. It's just that I find the whole adulation that follows these moves a little stupid, quite frankly, because what they're doing is fine. They're saying that we're going to try something different. There was a really good response to it last year. We'll go on with it this year. It's a commercial venture which is moving along commercial lines. We tend to approach it, however, like it's manna falling from the heavens.
But those are idiots, na? Whoever, sure, if anyone, it's the same people who think the Anushka video is manna from heaven. Like, why would you idolize anything or say, oh, it's so wonderful? I just think it's worth mentioning because it is a step away from the usual fashion shoots that happen with the same bunch of women, most probably.
I would also like to defy any of us to look the way Uma Thurman does in a close-up without makeup. Amaze.
Ami Jaan kehti thi, koi dhanda chota nahi hota.
Jisko tu dhanda bolta hai na, crime mein wo. Dhanda band kar le, वरना सांस लेना भी मुश्किल कर दूंगा। एक दिन नाक में नकेल डाल के खींच के लेके जाऊंगा तुझे मैं यहां से।
सबूत ले आइए, ले जाइए। रईस हाजिर, आ रहा हूं।
So just to make our life difficult, exactly when we finished recording our awful and awesome entertainment rap, Shah Rukh Khan decided to release the trailer of Rais. Obviously, he did it thinking that he would outwit us, because naturally the world of pop culture and entertainment revolves around our recording schedule. However, we are here to outwit him. We've got Sri Sen working as the voice of God a la Big Boss.
Hello.
That's her. And of course, I'm not the voice of God. I'm the voice of slave of God. So you saw Rais?
Yes, I did. As in the trailer, which is out now.
Yeah, we can't see the film yet. But did you like it?
I really liked the trailer.
So here's the thing, right? It's based on an actual criminal's life.
Yeah. This guy, Abdul Latif, the Dawood's guy, henchman, basically.
Exactly. And he started as a small-time bootlegger and eventually became basically the guy who had a monopoly over bootlegging. He had kidnappings to his name, murder. He was one of the suspects in the 1993 Mumbai blasts. So altogether, he was an extraordinarily villainous figure. And that's who we see Shah Rukh Khan playing. And
but
we'll put, yes.
What's really funny is that while he may have been very strongly involved in the Mumbai blast and therefore led to the killing of many people, his son has sued. There's a court case against the film, right? Because his son has said that in the film, my father might have done all these things, but he never ran a brothel. And over here, y'all have shown that he's run a brothel, and that has upset me.
I like that, right? Like, that is the big problem.
Which is good. Just shows that just because you are a bootlegger and most probably have basically been involved in the killing of people and all sorts of criminal activities, that doesn't mean that you disrespect women.
Indeed.
And that's important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
The other thing that I was very happy to see in the trailer, aside from Shah Rukh Khan, who really makes Kajol look good.
Yeah, he's also looking really good in this film.
Yes. The other bit that I was very happy to see was Mahira Khan, the Pakistani actress, not being sidelined in the trailer. I mean, after all that we saw with Aidil Hai Mushkil and Pakistani actors.
Basically, the film, let's just tell them, the film is directed by Rahul Dholakia and it stars Shah Rukh, and the actress is not one of our beautiful Indian actresses, but from Pakistan. And it's Mahira Khan, and she's famous. Like, I didn't know this till I saw the trailer, because I said, who is this person? And I was informed by the people around me that she has acted in a very well-known show with Fawad Khan.
She's also Mrs. Fawad Khan.
She's married to him. People will hate her then. So I personally don't think that, like, I feel that they've chosen her because she doesn't overshadow Shah Rukh.
I think you're being very judgmental. Mahira Khan is an astonishingly good actress as her soaps show.
Okay.
And I have a feeling that she's one of those people who can make a small role actually feel far more poignant than a lot of our cosmetic glossy ones do. So whether or not she would overshadow Shah Rukh is a little difficult to tell. But let's be fair, in a story that is mostly about prohibition and liquor smuggling and evidently some violence, it's really unlikely that the women characters are going to have a huge role to play.
Yeah.
I just wanted to point out also, Rahul Dholakia has a reasonably turbulent relationship with Bollywood. He's also the director of Parzania, which did not get released in Gujarat. So altogether, Rais promises to be pretty darn exciting.
Also, because someone tweeted to me after I tweeted about the trailer, someone said, this movie though is definitely not going to see the light of day. And it's a Muslim actor, Muslim actress, Muslim producer. And it's based in Gujarat, prohibition.
So the reason why I think your Twitter friend might be right about it finding release a bit of a struggle is that, yes, it is set in Gujarat, but the point is that it's set in a pre-Modi Gujarat when you couldn't breathe in a little bit of Gujarat since it was the 1990s. That's also what I'm actually looking forward to. It looks like it's got its retro thing done quite well.
And he's got a journalist to come on board. He has a researcher, another reporter friend that Ashish Vashi is writing it, Harit Mehta, who is a journalist. He's done his research, you at least know, and he did travel through this thing from Umbergaon to Bhuj. He went from 2011 to 2012. He was just researching the story. So I think it shows great promise. And when Shah Rukh is given a chance to act, which is very rarely, he does do a good job.
So he's always done those negative roles well. But I do want to take a moment to talk about Nawazuddin Siddiqui, whose character is a police officer who is pitted against Shah Rukh Khan's character named Rais. Nawazuddin is always fantastic, right? He's just an outstanding actor. But when he has to do the little guy who's going to take on these scary proportions just because he's taken on a mission, he's particularly good. So I'm really, really looking forward to seeing Shah Rukh Khan in his acting mode, with Nawazuddin also in his acting mode.
And Atul Kulkarni also, who's an excellent actor.
Altogether, this film, I feel, if it ends up, you know, living up to its trailer expectations, we have a really, really good film to kick off 2017.
And Sunny Leone.
Thank you for bringing her in when we were talking about acting credentials and serious philosophical, ideological, political heft, and not to mention cinematic quality. Thank you for bringing her in.
Yes, I just wanted to bring some balance and perspective.
You're too kind. So we're coming to the end of this week's Awful and Awesome, which is my cue to tell you to please let us know what you think of the episode at contact@newslaundry.com or Twitter. So since Rais's trailer has come out and we're all, as you can tell, very excited about it, I thought that we would make this week's question about Rais. Meanwhile, before I get into that, thank you to everyone who did write in with the correct answer. It was indeed Pumalai by Ilayaraja. There were a few people who on Twitter told me that was extremely simple as a question. Guys, I gotta tell you, North India is not that well known, well familiar with Ilayaraja's discography. But anyway, thank you for writing in, and please do keep telling us what you think of our podcast at contact@newslaundry.com. You can also get in touch with us on Twitter. Please consider subscribing, because, you know, we're awesome. And we're not trying not to be awful. There's also Hafta, there's Just Sports. We've got a lot of stuff that you can go through. Now, for this week's question, here it is. The film Rais is set in 1980s Gujarat, and it's about, as most of you know, a bootlegger named Rais Alam. Now, what I want you to tell me is, what is the name of Nawazuddin Siddiqui's character in Rais? Right? Nawazuddin Siddiqui in Rais, what is the character he's playing? Let us know at contact@newslaundry.com. In the meanwhile, thank you, Miss Sen.
Thank you, Miss Paul.
It's a wrap. All the News Laundry podcasts are available on Stitcher, iTunes, and any other podcast platform.
Please subscribe to News Laundry. Help us keep news independent. To catch all our podcasts on news, pop culture, current affairs, and sport, visit newslaundry.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel.